People are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
The upcoming election is critical and dramatic for many reasons. Among them, that there are three important affordable housing measures being considered in Bay Area counties. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and on this episode of the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing, we'll be hearing excerpts from the recent annual conference by the Nonprofit Housing Association of Northern California, better known as NPH. In San Mateo County, voters will be considering Measure K. In Santa Clara County, Measure A. And in Alameda County, affordable housing is the topic of Measure A1. The keynote plenary session of the conference featured an esteemed panel of the key elected leaders who championed these ballot measures in their communities. Supervisor Don Horsley from San Mateo County, Supervisor Dave Cortese from Santa Clara County, and Supervisor Wilma Chan from Alameda County. The discussion was moderated by NPH's Executive Director, Amy Fishman.
So we have been hard at work to create this regional electoral strategy. You might have heard us talking about it over the last year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, around putting measures before voters, about building public support and political will to support our elected leaders like those here today so that they can be our champions in the fight for funding for more affordable homes, because everyone deserves a place to call home. And we're in a moment where we don't have to explain the crisis. It is happening around us. We are living the affordable housing crisis today. Now is the moment where we need those big, game-changing solutions, and we need to put them before the public. We need to put them before the voters so that we can have an impact today. And now we have that opportunity, thanks to the leadership, the tremendous leadership that we have, and we're so honored to have them as our core partners in this effort. We have a ballot measure in Alameda County, a ballot measure in Santa Clara County, and a ballot measure in San Mateo County. And if you don't live and work in any of those counties, just note, we are coming to a county near you in future elections. This is hopefully the start of a trend where we can build this effort, build the political support, and the public will for this to happen. So a huge thank you to the NPH community. You have stepped up in an enormous way beyond anyone's imagination to step up to the plate on this effort and this huge opportunity we have before us. So can you please stand or wave if you've been involved in some way in the ballot measures? You went to a meeting, you donated money, you walked streets, you were on a phone call. Like, please, you know, wave, stand. Let's see, you know, who's been involved. There's been just incredible work that's happened. And more, I know you're shy. So now I'm going to turn to Supervisor Don Horsley, who is going to speak to the San Mateo County measure and some of the polling. Either way, you feel free to sit or stand. And the questions that we want you to touch base on, because you're so familiar with the polling in San Mateo County and the history of attitudes and perceptions in San Mateo County. So if you can share with us about the Yes on Measure A campaign and how it came about, and a little bit of the background about the Measure A and that came before it, and what Measure A has been able to accomplish for affordable housing and how that's going to lead into the effort with Measure K, and what would a win on the new Measure K mean for addressing the urgent need for affordable homes in San Mateo County. So whatever piece of that you want to take on.
Can you hear me? Or should I get up there? You can hear me? I'm good. Okay. So you might have seen me fidgeting around because they didn't tell me where to sit, and I have to be told where to sit. As was said before, I was the sheriff for the county and I spent about 35 years in law enforcement. And most of, you know, the sheriff's jurisdiction generally in counties, generally the areas that are kind of forgotten by the cities. The cities usually take, you know, the Costcos and all the tax revenue, and we get stuck with the places that don't have tax revenue. Although in my district, I have a number of cities. Actually, I have more cities than any other supervisor. But because I've been a sheriff, I used to see people living in substandard housing on a regular basis. I used to take my kids, actually, with me to show them how some people live. And it frankly broke my heart a lot of times seeing people living in garages that were really unsafe. But I never knew what I could do about it because I was the sheriff. That wasn't my job. And there didn't seem to be any kind of way for us to, or the county, to do much about that. And, you know, first of all, because if I turned them in, they would have been thrown out onto the street, and where were they going to go? And so one of the reasons I ran for the board is I thought, gee, there's a lot more things that I could do. I know this county. I've grown up here my entire life. I know this in a way that most of the other people on the board didn't. And so when I ran, that's one of the things that I really focused on, is providing opportunities for folks. So we all know about the downturn that occurred, you know, several years back, and just before Obama became president, there was a collapse of the financial in this country. Was just devastating for people losing homes. In some ways, looking back, it was a bit of an opportunity. It's too bad we didn't buy more properties, although we did help some agencies do that. So in any case, what we did is we decided to, and I really wanted to do a 1 cent sales tax because I thought that would be even more that we could do, but we couldn't figure out, we just couldn't do that. We went for a 0.5 cent sales tax called Measure A at the time, with the idea of providing a lot of the social services that were really lacking in the county. And one of the things that, for example, we did a measure, 40% of our kids in San Mateo County do not read a third grade level, cannot read a third grade level, which means, you know, you have to, you learn to read up until third grade, and after that you read to learn. So we focused on things like that. We enacted the Laura's Law, which is outpatient assisted treatment. And at the same time, with the dissolution of the redevelopment agencies, we took that money and we put it back into housing. It's about $13.5 million. And we thought that with Measure A, we could do more. So over the, it's passed in 2012, we've been actually able to put $60 million into affordable housing, dealing with not only our clients, the homeless, but also for affordable housing for low-income workers. So when we then, because of the shortages in housing, and because of what we've seen and going in other counties, we decided to put together a countywide task force between me and Supervisor Warren Sloak, and we called it the Job Housing Gap Task Force. Now, most people think of San Mateo County as a, you know, bedroom community. It is not. We have more Fortune 500 companies than San Francisco. For example, Genentech has 20,000 employees. Facebook has something in the neighborhood of 15,000. So we've become, over the last few years, we've created something like 67,000 jobs and only about 1,400 housing units. So if you can imagine, like about 30 people looking for one house. So that's, you know, what we wanted to do is we brought in our major employers to our task force in every single city. And we came up at the end of the year, one of the things we all agreed with, there's a whole bunch of other things like ADUs or accessory dwelling units, but we came up with, we need money. But we didn't have the time to actually put together a bond as Santa Clara did, and, you know, with talking about all the different things, and we knew that we could extend our Measure A, which now is called K. We would have loved it to be Measure A once again, but that polled really well. I think, I don't know if it shows up there, but it polled at about 71%. People do, in fact, understand, and the major issue wasn't public safety anymore, which in my former life I would be disappointed in, but it was affordable housing. But the other thing is that when I was a sheriff, I couldn't get deputy sheriffs because they were all living in the East Bay. We know that like 70% of all of our county employees live in the East Bay. We can't get doctors anymore, so in any case, that we decided we have to get additional revenue. We put this on the ballot. If we get it, it's about 80 to 85 million a year over a 20-year period. So we extended it for 20, so it would be 26 years of funding, which I think we could probably use to do some additional borrowing. And actually, one of the press endorsements indicated we thought we could probably borrow some in the neighborhood of $200 million. And I judged that based on we built a jail for $200 million. So if I can do a jail for $200 million, I would be able to do $200 million for housing. So in any case, that's our project.
Thank you. Thank you, Supervisor Horsley. That is just tremendous leadership and vision. Thank you. Next, we're going to turn to Supervisor Cortese in Santa Clara County. So if you can share with us about the Yes on A campaign and how did it come about? What were the various threads that came together to result in this game-changing initiative? And can you share more about the $950 million bond and what it could mean to Santa Clara and the strategy to get two-thirds vote? So whatever of that bucket you want to take on, please do. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'm mic'd up. Am I on? Good. First of all, I want to thank all of you, and I want to thank MPH, because I think I'd have a pretty sad look on my face today if we didn't have the support that we've had that was reflected in all the hands that went up in this room. And don't feel like you missed that bus if you haven't get involved. I know how that feels sometimes, especially in a presidential cycle where you're thinking, oops, I meant to get involved, and it's already almost October. There is time. I mean, the next 10, 12 days are going to be traction time for all these campaigns. So still time. If you want to get involved, please do so. We're trying to cover countywide demographics here in what may be an 80% turnout. So no effort is too small, and everybody's needed. Just want to put that out there. I want to thank, I know Leslie Corsiglia and Catherine Harrison from, Leslie was introduced earlier, I believe, as a board member, but also a longtime leader, housing leader in Santa Clara County and City of San Jose. Catherine from the Santa Clara County Housing Authority. You know, it isn't as if this is one of those crises that we didn't think about a long time ago. The Santa Clara County Housing Authority was created by my father's board of supervisors, right? And people knew that this work needed to be done and needed to be done continuously. City of San Jose was on it for years. I was there at a time when former Mayor Gonzalez and people like Leslie Corsiglia had us leading the region in the building of affordable housing before RDAs went away. So it isn't as if, you know, we fell into a crisis like we do sometimes because we weren't paying attention, we weren't thinking about, you know, whether it's disaster relief or whatever, we just weren't paying attention. This is the first time, though, in all those years that the public has finally said this is our number one priority. And that's huge. And we should be celebrating that. It's just unfortunate that it takes a crisis, you know, to get that kind of mass buy-in. And I don't know who the first person was to say a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. Probably happened in Cro-Magnon times or something. But, yeah. We're wired that way. You know, we just are. And it's until the impact reaches people, as Ruth was saying, in families, nieces, nephews, extended family. I can tell you some almost embarrassing stories about that in my large extended family. But when it starts touching people, we have an opportunity, and this is a historic opportunity to do something that we've all been trying to do for four decades. How it started with us quickly is this way. The year I made my first day of the county speech as president of the board 2 years ago, the group that was helping me brainstorm what that was going to look like in terms of leadership at our county started talking about maybe a $100 million piece of the pie for affordable housing, and then maybe we could get that woven into the anticipated transportation sales tax, absent sales tax that was coming forward. Those negotiations didn't go so well, but at least I knew enough about where we were trying to go to announce at that state of the county the formation of a countywide housing task force that would look at what is it going to take for us to really move on this issue and start eliminating ELI needs and homeless needs and supportive housing needs and so forth. We put a labor business large coalition, broad coalition together for that task force, and they came back and they said, the good news is out of your general fund and out of current resources, you know, do this, this, and this, but you're going to need that other money that people were already talking about. Mayor Liccardo, to his credit in San Jose, then went out and tested the possibility of doing a citywide parcel tax or some kind of a revenue measure. Didn't work out so well in the polling. And we looked at ourselves at the County Board of Supervisors at that point, and it's one of those things, you kind of look to the right, look to the left, and say, you know, who's standing here? We've got a AAA bond rating. Why not us? And why not us putting an infusion of capital into this community to do this? To the credit of my colleague Cindy Chavez, that number jumped first from $100 million to a $600 million aspiration, and then to a $950 million aspiration, really because she challenged all of us to keep reaching it and to really make a difference, to do something bold. And that's been the attitude ever since. We've pushed hard. The campaign has raised over $1.2 million already. Our goal is $1.6 million. We'll get there. It's tough to run a campaign in a county as big as Santa Clara County. I mean, those numbers even still sound a little big to me, but a supervisorial race can be run on 250 or 300,000. We have five of those districts to reach. So we do need help. We're looking forward to getting this done. It's important. This is going to make such a this is going to be so transformational on a regional basis. As chair of the MTC, I know that. Some of you are familiar with Plan Bay Area. You know, it used to be a three-legged stool, right? Can you bring transportation and housing together with job growth? It's a four-legged stool now. I mean, our very existence is dependent on this. If we don't reduce GHG, we're sitting here looking at a bay that's already rising, and it gets beyond comfort level of living. It gets beyond the difference between ELI and VLI. It gets back to major crisis proportions if we don't get this done. And if we don't build 600,000 homes in this next planning horizon in the Bay Area, that's what's going to happen. We're going to constrain 100,000 jobs in the Bay Area just by falling short on our housing as a minimum, even if we build this plan. And if we don't do it, we're facing environmental consequences that are unheard of, really, since Cro-Magnon days. So thank you. I'm happy to be here, and I look forward to the questions.
It's tremendous to have your leadership and Supervisor Cindy Chavez as well championing this effort. And, you know, this didn't just happen by magic. There was so many threads, so many efforts, so many calls for action. We did 6-7 polls as NPH. We built a whole new political program with our political director, Sharon Cornu. Our whole team at NPH jumped into action around doing this. But this was a big risk, and our board of directors said, we got to prioritize this. We got to make this happen. But we weren't really sure if we, you know, what was going to stick. We knew that we saw the polling. We saw Measure A or Proposition A in San Francisco. But San Francisco City and County, they've done this before. But, you know, the last time, say, that there was an attempt in Alameda County was in 1988 and 1990 to do, and Linda Gardner's here to talk about that if you want to ask her about those days and that effort. And so we had a meeting. Gloria Bruce from EBHO and I with Sharon arranged, and we sat down with Wilma, and he said, what do you think of this idea? And you know, can we do it? How could we actually make something happen here in Alameda County? And she said, yes, let's do it. Let's test it. Let's do the poll, and I'm going to help. And she was first out of the gate, which gave us that shot in the arm that said, hey, we can really do something here. And then everybody else jumped in, as we've heard. So Supervisor Chan, thank you. And can you share a little bit about the effort in Alameda County and what it's going to mean for Alameda County if Measure A A1 wins? How are we going to get to 2/3, and what are we going to do with $580 million in Alameda County?
Okay, well, first, I want to thank MPH. Without your leadership, I don't think we'd be here today. Your enthusiasm, all the people in the room who've helped, it's just fabulous. And I made a lot of new friends in the housing community. So let me just say, It was pretty easy for me. About more than a year ago, I met with a group of mental health providers in Alameda County, and they told me they had cut back services because they had no staff. And the reason they had no staff is because people couldn't live in the county anymore. They said it went all the way from psychiatrists to clerical. And I talked to the Oakland School District, and they're losing teachers. The teachers can't stay in the community anymore. And then people were coming to us and saying, we need more money for homeless. We have people, especially during the winter last year, lying on the street. We need warming shelters. Well, you know, government has to step in at some point. I was at the state the last time the housing bond passed, and that was more than 10 years ago. The federal government has cut their HUD program and many of the other programs. So it's up to us at a local level. And I'm really honored to be on the stage with my colleagues because it is a regional issue. We have people driving to San Jose, you know, from San Jose to Alameda County to work, and, you know, San Mateo as well. So it was really obvious that this was the time to do something. I think also I've been in public policy for more than 45 years, and you know that the opportunities come and the opportunities go. And this is the window of opportunity for sure. And so when the window opens a crack, you have to bust it open and go all the way. And that was, you know, that was my attitude. This is our time. This is our time to do this. So in Alameda County, we're really proud of the process we have. It's a $580 million bond. It's divided into two pots. One is for home ownership, and the other is for rental housing. We cover people from homeless to the very lowest to people up to about 120% of the area income. So it's going to do wonders for the county. I think that the most important thing about this is we also have built a coalition that I hope will last. In Alameda County, we reached out to, with the help of MPH and other community-based organizations, to about 800 people during this process. We rewrote the language about, 10, 12 times. We really listened to everyone from Habitat for Humanity to the League of Women Voters to the tenants' unions. When they first came, I thought, God, how are we going to come together? People tend to be so divided these days. The tenants wanted immediate action. The business community thought, you know, this isn't going to help them. But through a process, a very deliberate process, where we went out throughout Alameda County, our 14 cities and the unincorporated areas, we talked to everybody. We talked to the realtors. We talked to the Rental Housing Association. We talked to all the tenant groups. And I really think it was a model for working together. And I think it does show, too, that when you have a common issue, you can bring people together. This is a time when people feel like we're so divided and you know, there's just so much contention. And it's just been a great model, I think, of trying to bring people together and work on something that people really, really believe in. In terms of how we're going to win, I wish the state had done a 55% because we would all be like breathing, I don't know, breathing easy, but probably breathing easy. 67% is always hard to get. So we're going to really need all of you to come out. If you don't live in Alameda County, come over and phone bank. We always have good food. We have great people. We're very friendly. And we're very grassroots. So we love that kind of sitting together and talking and getting on the phone, going out and walking precincts. You know, we're a very grassroots county. So I really encourage all of you to come over and help us phone bank, even if you don't live in Alameda County. We also need to continue to raise money, though I have to say with Amy's help and all of you out here, I've raised money for a lot of campaigns. This has been by far the easiest. I mean, I'd be like, wow, we brought in $100,000 today, and I tell you, that doesn't happen very often. It really doesn't happen. So you've really stepped up, and I think with all the effort of everyone in this room, we're going to win. We're going to make a difference for the whole region, and we certainly are going to make a difference for the 2 million residents of Alameda County. So thank you very much.
Who here is feeling a little bit inspired? Who here is feeling a lot inspired? So those are incredible responses and just show the depth of vision and commitment to this issue. Can you say a few more words? Let's not get ahead of ourselves, but let's imagine these measures win in November in those 39 days. What's going to be different, or how can we continue to move the needle and have the impact around building the public support and political will for affordable housing? What still do we need to continue to do and to continue to work on, both at the county level and at the regional level? Any more words to offer about that?
Well, one of the things I would say is that, you know, even though we here are enthusiastic about it, it's not necessarily, you know, our neighborhoods are not necessarily wild about it. They fight it based not on housing so much as it's traffic. And somehow we've got to get that message out. Traffic is one of the reasons that makes it worse is because so many of our employees are moving throughout the whole Bay Area. If they could live closer to where they work, you could have a positive impact on traffic. And I know Dave said about greenhouse gases. So if we, you have to be able to, if we could somehow make that connection with our neighborhoods. The other is sort of the recognition that it is in their self-interest to have good housing. So like what I was saying before, in San Mateo County, we can't get doctors anymore because they can't live here. We can't, firefighters are living way far away now. I don't know that we ever get them back because of the way their schedules work. The same thing with police officers. You know, I know our sheriff's department is desperately short. They're having to mandatory overtime because they cannot get employees. So if people have got to recognize, if you've already got a home, great for you. But what happens to all those service workers? What happens to all those people that provide services to you? In my district, one of our high schools lost one-third of their teachers because none of them could live in the county any longer. Where do they get their teachers? So they have to start thinking. We have got to get that message out to them that traffic is only made worse by the fact that you have all these jobs and all these people moving throughout the Bay Area. If you can build more housing closer to where they work, you can have an impact, a positive impact on traffic. And the other is it's in their self-interest to make sure that all those people have housing that provides services to them. The other thing about housing is that you also have to make them understand, maybe they already do, but it's a matter of social justice. A house isn't just a roof over your head. It's human dignity. And so the message has got to go out to... And Matt Franken can tell you that we have a particular fight in my district that, you know, we're saying that there are a lot of low-income workers in this particular community, about 1,300. Of the 1,300, 1,000 of them have to travel over 50 miles a day to get to their work. We need to have housing for those lower-income workers and to get the community to understand that they're already, they provide services for you. And so in any case, I think that even we're the true believers, we got to spread that message to your friends, your neighbors, your, you know, anybody, you know, the co-workers, people you run into in a store, the grocery clerks. I even ask people, waiters, that, you know, when I go to a restaurant, where do you live? So.
I think if these measures pass, first of all, we have to make sure the money goes out the door and that you all are ready to build this housing and to take advantage of these programs. The worst thing that would happen is if we pass them and nothing happens. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think it's really, really important that we're fast. I mean, there's a crisis out there. I think another opportunity, at least in Alameda County, and I think Santa Clara did this too, a lot of counties have set aside some of the boomerang funds, which is the X redevelopment money for housing. But we've told people in the county, and I think this will be true in the other counties too, if this passes, this takes care of some of the brick and mortar situation. And therefore, we can program the other housing money for other things like tenant education or rental subsidies, because bonds can only be spent on certain things. So I think it opens up a whole another level of work that we can do to house people. And I would say this too, if the money goes out the door quickly and we just see these wonderful buildings come up, because we've done some great projects in Alameda County, it's going to be a tipping point for our communities. When you see less homeless on the street and in housing, or when you see buildings that neighborhoods that used to look really run down or empty lots, and now on them we have affordable rental housing, it's going to change the whole community. So I think it's going to have a multiplier effect. I think it's going to change the economics of the various cities in Alameda County. So we just start there, and it's going to be very, very positive.
Campaigns have a way of changing the conversation, right? We're right in the middle of all that right now, nationally, locally, statewide, et cetera. What we have to do is to make sure that we don't ever let this issue fall back into the shadows or become a secondary or tertiary issue again. It's issue number one right now. We're learning how to communicate with the public, how to communicate with voters about how important this is. Ruth alluded to that in her presentation. We're talking to people at an emotional level about housing, not about whether or not this fits on a postage stamp in your neighborhood or not. We're talking to people about, this is a senior on your television set who looks like your mom or your grandmother or yourself, who is in need of this bond issue passing. That's an emotional appeal but housing should be an emotional issue, right? And we, Maslow taught us that. I mean, this is right there, and we need to keep it that way after this. Whatever we learn in these campaigns about how to communicate with people about housing, we need to keep doing that forever. And we need to keep learning as well. And I think there's something to be said, not to make this the EMC Full Employment Act, but for us to continue, not just in election cycles, but to continue polling and understanding the public and in terms of what their needs are and what their sensitivities are in this way. The other thing that has a way of changing conversations is money. You know, there's two kinds of tension, heavy tension that you see as an elected official, especially if you've been doing it for a couple decades or more. One is from scarcity, and the other one is when there's abundance, a pile of money on the table. And that can create a good kind of tension. Just think, let's go back to the regional or sub-regional for a moment. We have 15 cities in Santa Clara County. We have promised all of you, and we have promised them, this isn't about county control of housing, that we want to use existing infrastructure, again, to infuse this capital back through a system that's been starved out a little bit over the past few years because of changes at the state and national level. That's what we want to do. We need to do that. But when we do that, I'll tell you, these conversations about who the bedroom communities are and who's doing all the jobs, even within our own county, within our own 15 cities, are going to come to life again. And that creates opportunity, a lot of opportunity, for folks to do more than the bully pulpit, but to say, you know what, if you want a piece of this bond, you need to build your housing element. And I think that's something going forward in terms of political will that I'm hopeful we'll see.
Don't you love it when our elected officials talk about the housing element and how we have to implement the housing element? Ugh. Music to our ears. We're, you know, the nerds and wonks out there. So we have time for just one last lightning round, but there's still the participatory part of the plenary, so don't go away and have your pledge cards near. And can you leave us with just a lightning round of parting words of inspiration? What is going to keep your passions up, especially in the next 39 days and beyond? Any last comment that you would like to make to this group before we rile them up to volunteer and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I'll just say we've come this far. I mean, there was a lot of work that went into putting all three of these measures on the ballot. So this would not be a time to stop, right? So we have a couple weeks left, and we have to keep going. It's very doable, but it's going to take a lot of work. And how disappointing would it be if we came short by 1% or something like this? So let's all just keep together for the next few weeks, work really hard on this with money and getting the voters out. And then also we'll have a really big party, okay? So that's something to look forward to as well.
Great,
thank you.
Well, I don't often quote somebody from a Republican administration being a card-carrying Democrat as I am, but one of the great quotes of all time, I think, it was when Henry Kissinger said, a lack of options brings great clarity to the mind. This is it. It's this option or complete failure. And we have to make this happen. It's a historic opportunity, but it's also something that everybody should be focused on. 39 more days is not that tough a price to pay to push this from what could be a percent low to a few votes above that 66% threshold. Again, that's not only the appeal, but hopefully the inspiration. Let's just get out there and get it done, because this opportunity is not going to come around again for a while.
Two things, and then I'm gonna let you be last.
Okay. I like being last.
Yeah. Just two things. So in the short term, as we've said, 39 more days, turnout is going to be absolutely crucial. Whether or not people vote in this election in November is going to have a lot to do with the presidential. We in this room have no control over that. But what we can do is work really hard in those last days. As soon as ballots drop in a couple of weeks, we can start making phone calls and tell people to get their ballots in. That's crucial. The other thing, I'm really excited about the work that you all have done, because in the long term, these campaigns have started to change the conversation about the way that we talk about housing in the Bay Area, and maybe we can actually get beyond some of those local fights in those neighborhoods where they say, I don't want that in my neighborhood, that we have to use this to change the conversation to be more about the people that are going to be in those houses so that we can get in those homes, so that we can really move to have change in the Bay Area.
Last, but hopefully not least, but I would have to say thank my colleagues and even San Francisco, because one of the things that really impelled us was when we saw Alameda County and Santa Clara County, we thought, that's a great opportunity for us to, maybe we'll catch some of the tailwind from the other counties and from San Francisco. So this conversation has gone from the whole Bay Area, and we believe that that's going to really resonate and will help us. The one thing about we'll say about this ballot is going to be really busy because there's all kinds of stuff on a part of the state. So they're going to be it's going to be down the ticket. So one of the things we have to do with all of our constituents is say, keep going down the ballot, because it's that's where you're going to find the county measures down the ballot. And as Supervisor Chan was saying about, we've got to have some immediate reaction. Wins once we get these ballots passed, and I think they will pass. One of the things that we are going to do in our county is we're going to do housing preservation. So instead of allowing flippers to buy houses, put some lipstick on it, and double the rents, we're going to try to get our organizations, that nonprofits, to buy those buildings first to keep them as affordable. And I think that is one of the things that we can maintain. We can stabilize our community by actually housing preservation. And we've even put money into that already, and we'll put more money into that just so our neighborhoods, you know, the people that live here can stay here.
All right, can we do some really loud applause and shouting? These are such incredible heroes and champions. Now that sounds awesome.
That was Alameda County Supervisor Wilma Chan, Santa Clara County Supervisor Dave Cortese, and San Mateo County Supervisor Don Horsley. We thank them for their leadership. These ballot measures could collectively generate more than $2 billion in funding for affordable housing, funding that is critical to Eden's ability to continue to build and preserve affordable homes and meet the overwhelming need. As of this week, Eden has more than 20,000 households on our waiting lists and virtually no vacancies. Please join us in casting your ballot in support of affordable housing on November 8th. I'm Joanne Green. To hear prior episodes of the Affordable Housing Podcast, go to iTunes or visit us at edenhousing.org.